It's a Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio, and tonight there's one person missing. I am joined by MC Ken Feast and also Panthers commentator Jono Bullard. Evening to you guys.
Hello. Evening, Chris.
Someone's missing. Green has point blank refused to come on because it's too late.
It's not even late because the clocks are an hour forward, a la this weekend, so it's only really 20 to 10.
Yeah, a man with his... He goes to the gym regularly. He's a fit guy. He should be fine.
Yeah, but he needs his 8 hours. He needs his 8 hours of sleep. That's... How do you think he manages to keep looking so good?
Yeah, it's a good point. He does look good.
It's fair. Yeah.
He does look good. And if you refuse...
He's got a mirror in the attic, hasn't he?
If you refuse to come on podcast at 20 to 11 at night, that's why you look like Dan Green. Anyway, we've got the gang together because the results that all Panthers fans were hoping for tonight, I don't know about you, well, there's plenty of pings, I'm sure, on lots of people's phones.
Yeah.
But the results that people were looking at, you know, if Panthers were to have a chance, the results needed to go the Panthers' way tonight. Thank you, Sheffield Steelers. Simsy was texting me a bit. Sheffield won 4-2 in 5. So I think he probably can't believe that the Steelers have done Panthers a favour. Cardiff was a bit edgy at one point, but they won by 6-3 against Dundee. And Manchester have waltzed to a 3-0 victory in Coventry. Congratulations to them. I think we'll talk about them and a few other things, boys, shortly. But Manchester have clinched fourth place. So well done to them as well. But we'll go through a few things first of all. But Jono, we're not going to go into the permutations that, you know, we need a number of results to go our way. But I think first and foremost, with what this set of results has done, it makes it exciting. There's something on the final weekend and it's going to be a tense and exciting final weekend.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is we need to win two games. Well, we need to get at least 3 points, but let's win two games. And we still need other results to go our way. It's by no means a foregone conclusion, but we're still here. We're still going into this last weekend with a chance, with a little bit of hope. And it's going to take two victories. It's going to be difficult because that Manchester Storm team is excellent. But, you know, we've seen the way we can play. We've seen the way that we've improved over the past couple of months. Why not have a bit of belief? Let's believe we can do it.
Ken, you've had the Motorpoint Arena in the palm of your hands many times this season. How are you going to go up another level if Sunday becomes the day?
Do you know what? We'll find a way.
Yeah,
everyone will find a way, and we will. It'll be awesome. I mean, all the results went our way tonight. We're still sat there. There's still a chance. That's it. You know, there's still reasons to believe. I'm enjoying a 15-year-old McAllen right now. So
yeah, you soak it in. Why not?
I wasn't expecting a podcast at sort of 10:45 at night. So
yeah. But I have rallied the troops and woken everyone up, and one of us refused, and rightly so. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, fair play.
I mean, that is. I mean, you say fair play, but I mean, he's partaking in hammering you guys when you haven't joined the podcast. So
it's a good point. You know, and he was messaging in the WhatsApp group. It's not like he's asleep. So, you know.
So what is he doing? You can send your answers on a postcard to info@panthers.co.uk.
Tottenham aren't playing tonight, are they? So they played.
Last. I love the fact as well, like, Jono's ready for bed. He's like, he's had his milk.
Yeah.
He's had his bath. He's got his big dressing gown on.
Okay. Right. It's ready for bed. It's me.
You what?
Meudy.
Yeah.
What's an hoodie?
He doesn't know.
It's like what Chris was wearing last week, but a red one.
It's an hoodie. It's not an hoodie. It's not an hoodie. It's an hoodie.
I thought it was
an hoodie. You notice as well.
It's lovely and warm.
John is the only one with a microphone. He's got a little microphone in front of him as well.
It's not little. Have you seen the size of it?
It is.
It's Jono's massive microphone.
Yeah, I actually have one a bit like that, Jono. I don't know. Well,
I used to, at one time in the past, I used to do podcasts. You may remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's bounce around a few subjects. You know, Manchester Storm, Jono, a club that you've covered quite closely over the years. I just want to go back. Ryan Finnerty, excuse me. I've been at the water park today. I think it made myself ill. Ryan Finnerty said on the 12th of February, 2024, talked about the guys' intensity and purpose. They're difficult to play against. When we're physical and direct, we score goals and we don't get outworked. He then went, we're seeing way too much inconsistency in their individual game, which makes it difficult to have any sustained team success. So then he went on to say, to play a game in front of our own fans and not even throw a hit, get into a net battle, scares the hell out of me. How can we play 60 minutes without passion or purpose? There's a swear word in here as well. Fair enough. We're not on their website. We're making it look easy right now. And I know that's not the character or the guys that I see on a team on a daily basis. I mean, he kind of ripped them apart there, Jono. And I haven't got the stats since then, but it turned not long after that.
Yeah, well, when that statement came out, I remember their fans gave him an awful lot of criticism for it, for what he said. But he did the trick because they've been absolutely sensational since he made them comments. They've stepped it up. They've won a load of games. They've stormed into fourth place, no pun intended. And on the back of some great forward play, they've got a very good offence. Their defence has been excellent. And their netminder, Evan Wenninger, has been absolutely superb. Statistics-wise, the best in the league. And for me, the best in the league.
Greenfield?
Yeah. He's faced 300 more shots than Matt Greenfield.
Greenfield's got about 9, 10 shots.
Matt Greenfield's got a much better defence in front of him, though, to be fair.
But a shout out to Alex Oldell.
Yeah, he got shut out tonight.
First pro shutout tonight. Storm.
Yeah. So you know that's a really good net-minding tandem they've got. But yeah, I honestly do think Wenninger is the best in the league. His stats show that he's over 93% save percentage, best in the league. He's faced 300 more shots than any other netminder. And if you compare, don't get me wrong, Greenfield's an excellent netminder as well. But I think if you compare the two defences of the Sheffield Steelers and the Manchester Storm, the Sheffield Steelers' defence is much better, and he's going to allow less shots on Matt Greenfield and probably protect Matt Greenfield a little better. So I think on that basis, for me, Evan Wenninger is the best in the league.
It's an interesting debate. I mean, what, there's 0.1% in it, 93.04 and 92.94. But even with a great defence in front of you, I mean, the shutouts that he's had, 8 this season, it's an interesting question. Like, so it's an interesting question. I mean, bounce is there.
But if you look at it on an average, Wenninger's facing 5 more shots a night.
It's not a lot.
Per game. In all seriousness, I think he has been the best netminder in the league this season. And that's no slight on Matt Greenfield whatsoever, who I think is also an excellent netminder. But I think when you compare them side by side and their defences and the amount of shots they faced, I think he comes out on top.
And so we've got Matt Greenfield on the line now. And we should bring him. Yeah,
I mean...
Hi, Matt.
I just never expected you to say that. I mean, Greenfield to me has been lights out, the best. I know what you're saying, and you dig deep into the stats.
Mm. I mean, defensive wise, Sheffield's defence is better than Manchester's defence. There's absolutely no question at all about that. Player for player, as a unit, much, much, much better. I just think, as a netminder, Wenninger has been better. I looked at his stats, I think, over the last 15 games, Wenninger's averaging 95.5% save percentage. So, you know, that's incredible consistency.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I'm intrigued by that, and I still feel that probably Matt Greenfield will probably end up with Netminder of the Year when the awards are handed out at the end of the year, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Don't know.
I mean, obviously Matt Greenfield is going to be bigged up by the Sheffield fan base. It's a huge fan base. They don't like it when other people come in and say, well, so-and-so is better, because they like all theirs to be the best. But I just think I think it's a really
objective way of looking at it, because if you think about it, the data doesn't lie, does it?
No.
And it's quite stark there what you say around the number of shots faced versus the save percentage. And the point around having, you know, they say, don't they, you know, defences win championships. I mean, having a stud netminder goes an absolute long way, but having the right defence in front of them makes a huge, huge difference. And it is a really good point. And, you know, I think sometimes people forget that. I mean, you know, it's like call-outs of other netminders that are, I mean, he always has an amazing game when he comes to Nottingham, is Shane Owen.
Yeah.
Like for life. And you kind of, you know, that's a netminder that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, when we had some injury woes, was it the other season, he was sort of talked about as possibly coming and providing us some help in that department.
I think they asked him to come. It was when Kevin Carr got injured.
Yeah.
I think Fife had come out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they could only sign a player that was already in this country, I think, to do with ITC cards. And you're right. I think they asked Shane Owen, and I think he said no.
And didn't he say, I'm washing my car that weekend?
I think he said no. Yeah, there was a few that year. I think that there was a play for Ben Bounds, but then Ben Bounds' ITC card was in Slovakia that year, I think. But Bounty, of course, had played for Panthers. Oh, no, because...
Because he played for us in the Elite Series, didn't he?
Yeah. Before that, hadn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and then he went to Slovakia, and I think his Slovakian team had finished their season. But yeah, we couldn't get him because his ITC card was in Slovakia rather than the UK.
Was it Slovakia? Didn't he go to am I right, or have I just had a complete...
No, he went to Graz 99ers. Yeah. Then he played for us in the Elite Series because he got injured in Austria, and then he came back.
And then he
for
was
us, and then he went to Slovakia. Yeah,
always wanted Ben Bounce to sign for the Panthers. One of those guys that you always like. You know, there must be a player you're like, I'd love to have had him, and we did get him for that one Elite League Series. What a tandem that was, Whistle and Bounce in that Elite Series.
That was mine
was Jaromir Jagr. I was disappointed he didn't see out his career with the Panthers.
I mean, I know we're getting off tangent here, but you were one of the lucky ones in that Elite Series, eh? You got in the building. That must have been the atmosphere a bit different in those games than it was the last few weeks.
I tell you what, it was worth it just for that badly drawn IHL picture of Ken and Steph. It was just
we were sharing that on our bench chat tonight. We share it, actually, to be fair, it was like nostalgia night because we were sharing loads of pictures, and we got pictures flying around of you know, everyone holding elite, being photobombed with the elite league trophy, and loads of photos just flying around of people over the years. So it's pretty good. And one of the ones that got shared was that picture of Steph just coming in behind me on I was doing some piece to camera in the Elite Series, and he looks like he's just gonna stab me in the back.
You know what, you see pictures taken by Carl and Adam, and Steph always looks angry in the background. I think it must be his game face.
What we shared like a number of like where there's something going on the ice, and there's like every expression from the bench crew of like surprise, excitement, shock, complete and abject, utter kind of nothingness.
Yeah.
There's one got shared there's like everybody on the bench is just completely nonplussed.
Yeah.
It's great. So yeah, that was pretty funny tonight, I have to say.
It's a fun one of Steph when there's play up against the boards and it's almost like he's out of the way. I've seen some of them recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, did you get any noise out of those cardboard cutouts in the Elite Series?
we got a bit. The best was, I remember I was asked to do this almost, this piece to camera, but nobody, including Dave Burnham, nobody had told me where the actual camera was. So I'd got this sort of kind of, I was looking for this camera, but I didn't know where the camera was. It's like doing a piece to camera, but it's on the other, it's over here. It was surreal, really, actually. You know, yeah, going off at a tangent. What a weird situation that was. Doing the Elite Series at that time was a bit of a lifeline because it got me a reason to be out and about and actually connect with some of these people, and actually to feel part of something again. But G'ing up a non-existent crowd was weird.
Yeah,
I have to say.
Yeah,
it must be sort of it's strange. You sort of, that's all in the past now, but
yeah. It was weird. I mean, I remember it. I watched most of the games on, and there was some really, really good games of hockey that tournament. I really, really enjoyed it massively. Winning it helped, of course, but
yeah, we've really gone off a tangent, so I'm going to rein it back in. But that was fun, and that was great. I love it when you go off a tangent and you don't think you're going to do that. So, but whatever happens on Sunday, Jono, I mean, it's going to be amazing if it's going to be. We need to get 2 points to get in the playoffs. We know that we won't know if we're going to get in the playoffs, no matter what results are on Saturday. Sunday will finish and we'll still be waiting on other results because we're the first game that day. But
believe yeah, four, 4 o'clock and then 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock for us, 5 o'clock for Glasgow, 5:15 for Fife and Dundee, and 5:30 for Coventry.
Can I delay that game in some way?
Yeah. Yeah. Break some plexi or something. But even if it's not a game that's going to be for the playoffs, or even if it doesn't end up in the playoffs, I think that doesn't matter. Playoffs is a bonus. You know, I think what's going to happen on Sunday is people are turning out to honour this team. You can see by the ticket sales. The ticket sales are very strong, around 1,000 remaining. So if you're thinking of going, get them soon, panthers.co.uk. People are coming because this team, rightly so, Jono, deserves honouring on Sunday. And then on Monday at the award show, tickets still available for that too.
This team are a group of heroes and they deserve all the plaudits that will come their way for what they've had to go through this season, the adversity they faced, the challenges they faced, and the way they've still come out and competed and given 100% every single game, every single shift. They've been amazing and, you know, they deserve all the credit, all the applause, everything that comes their way, because they've been heroes.
Ken, sorry, if you're going to make a point, I was going to say, you interact with the fans more than most on a match day. That's your job. So not only do these players deserve credit for what they've done on the ice, for getting back to playing, for giving us and everyone that loves the Panthers a season, which, you know, could not have happened and nobody would have begrudged them if we hadn't had hockey again this season. But they've given everybody, you know, and let's be honest, they've given us excitement. They're an exciting team to watch. But also their interaction with fans, and you'll see it more than most, they care. They don't just pretend they care. They really care. And I don't think a week goes by without seeing a player or two players or three players. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. There will be loads. But there's Jordan Kelsall played rock, paper, scissors coming off the ice the other day.
Otto getting some chocolate.
Was it Lungqua? Was it taking photos with somebody down by block four? Something like that. There's loads of examples. This fan player relationship is fabulous, isn't it, Ken?
It is. And also having the privilege to be behind the scenes after a game as well gives you the insight into the atmosphere when they win and the atmosphere when they lose.
Mm.
And I've been in, you know, been privileged to get that insight and get that look for many years, but this team cares. They're not a team that if they fall slightly short, then it is, you can feel that in the atmosphere that's there behind the scenes. And they do care. I think for me, what it's done is it's gone and taught me really what it is I love about hockey and how fortunate we are to have hockey in Nottingham at the level that we have, and that you should take nothing for granted, because if they'd have all kind of just said, right, that's it now, no one would have said, well, you know, people would have understood. And I don't know, I think it's reset some of my expectations, more what hockey's about, why enjoy hockey, what it is, and it's a chance to be around friends. It's that have friends that have over the years become like family, and to enjoy a collective experience with people that you share that collective bond with, and to see, you know, the guys genuinely trying and genuinely giving everything out there on the ice. And I think for me, what it's done is it's made me appreciate hockey more.
You're absolutely right. I think you've summed that up so well. It, to me, it's the authenticness of the relationship and of the situation. You know, you can build up hype, can't you, for a big game? You know, that's what happens in sport. But like you said, you deep down, you strip it back, and you know, these players hurt when the fans hurt. These players feel that joy when the fans feel that joy. And I think you're right. You see that when you're behind the scenes, you see those moments that probably people don't get to see, that the moments of hurt or the moments of joy. And that's what those fans have experienced, you know, as fans that go to a game experience those highs and lows. But having that bond has just been something truly special.
And you've only got to look. I mean, what was it? They were still signing autographs on Sunday night. Oh, sorry, on Monday night at gone like 9:45.
Yeah, I think later. Was it 10:30? I felt maybe.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They were still going. It was there was over 1,000 people in that queue, and I don't know. It's humbling, really, and also, I think what it's done and seeing, I think the whole course of this season has brought the whole league closer together as a collective. And you know, I go on about it all the time, but what we have in hockey is very special. We need to be protective over it. We need to preserve it. You know, there's people that maybe haven't found a home in any other sport, and they find it in hockey. And we have to be fiercely protective over each other and over that. And when I say each other, don't just mean fans of the Panthers. I mean fans of all teams and all clubs, because what, you know, it's special what we have.
You know what? It's really good that you've said that. I'm not going to name any names here because they might not want mentioning it. Maybe they would, but I just don't think it's fair. But I bumped into a lady in Encore Bar where I was getting a coffee before the game on Monday, and she got talking about her son and basically said how he just feels at home. It's his happy place. The way he's been received by fellow supporters, the way he interacts with players, the way, you know, she said the whole Panthers experience for her son was something very special indeed. And that really resonated with me, because, you know, I just, and that's kind of what you said, you know what I mean? It's exactly that. So you know, and there's many more examples like that, but to hear her talk to me and just say how, you know, she said, could you pass on messages to the people at the club and to the players? And I was like, of course I will. And she just said, my son feels so welcome here. He he adores it, and it just sums it up really. I think Jono, before you we end, I think a pal of yours, Adam Regis, he kind of, you know, kind of summed up what we said, didn't he? Like what we've been talking about him as a fan, and it's really interesting because we obviously now, you know, we all work within the club, but Adam obviously is someone who's been following the club for probably as long as you have, Jono. But to look at his journey as a fan and how he sees hockey, I think from what Ken alludes to, a lot of people have been on that same journey this season.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I talk to Adam a lot because he's one of my best mates, and I think you're referring to that article he wrote about a month ago.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing article. It was so well received, and I saw a lot of the feedback he got for that, and the responses he got of people saying, "Yeah, I feel exactly the same. I totally get where you're coming from," and it was written so well, and Adam's very much a heart on the sleeve guy, and the way he sort of put his heart and soul out there when he wrote that article was, I think, really, really, really good. And it was such a good read. And yeah, a lot of people, I think, are feeling the same as what he has. And, you know, let's hope it continues. You know, I think the acid test will be next season, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a really good point. So listen, before we end, we haven't got long, guys. Obviously, Sunday, as I said, get down, whatever's happening, these guys, and I'm sure the fans will be turning out, you can tell. So thank you to each and every one of you. Get down and cheer on the boys. And then Monday, awards night, which is an even more kind of a personal touch, because we'll all be up close and personal with the players on Monday. Ken, I think the biggest issue now is you're deciding what to wear.
It's been fierce on the chat, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Around what you're wearing, what I'm wearing, what we're wearing. I'm definitely going to wear clothes. Some kind of tux. Whether the famous jacket comes back, I don't know. But it might be.
I did read a message that you've got to be the best dressed. That was stipulated, wasn't it? You have to be the best dressed. That message was in the group chat.
It was in the group chat. I mean, the original gold lame jacket, that's the stitching on the seams on that are doing some heavy lifting. I don't think that will make an appearance, but possibly the yellow one might. The gold jacket from when would it have been? It would have been probably 2019.
Gotta hurry, we haven't got long, less than a minute.
That might make an appearance.
On tenterhooks now. On tenterhooks. I'm wearing shorts and a sleeveless top, mate. That's what I'm coming in. Can't wait. Boys, it's been great. It's been fun. We've been off at some tangents, but it's been really nice catching up. And we'll speak to you again on Sunday night in the Panthers post-game podcast.